Welcome to Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out with Julie Caraccio. Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., Julie interviews experts on all areas of clutter, physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. A clutter coach and professional organizer, Julie also offers tips to help you get clutter-free for a more joyful and fulfilling life.
Today we're going to talk about both the inside and outside because we're going to be talking about other people's stuff. As a professional organizer and a coach, I see this a lot of times when working with clients, so I thought I would talk about it today. So let's first talk about the physical, other people's clutters. When I first started organizing, I had a client who had his office in his basement, and he did furniture restoration. And so his entire basement was a great workshop. You know, there's a couple processes, so he had different areas set up when fixing furniture. So there were three huge unfinished armoires that were taking up quite a lot of space. And I said, okay, what are these, and are they a client? He said, oh no, so-and-so asked me to hold those for them. And I said, well, how long has it been? Over a year. So here, where this man was making his living to support his family, he had three armoires he was holding for someone for over a year. They were taking up what I would call valuable real estate. Another example, which I'm going to use myself, if you watch this, listen regularly, you know that I try to give examples from my own life. I was invited to speak in my hometown, and so I talked about just an entire 90-minute talk on organizing. But I talked about this, about holding on to other people's stuff. And after the presentation, my father came up to me and he said, the next time we come to see you, I'm bringing all your junk, as he referred it. Most stuff he refers to as junk. I had about 6 or 7 boxes with mementos that I had chosen to save from my childhood. And as a grown adult, I was back on the East Coast, and he was like, I don't want to hold on to this anymore, all because he listened to my talk. So that's another area where I see, you know, children have grown up and gone, yet their stuff remains. Sometimes a room, had one client, the room remained untouched. It looked like the gentleman was still a high schooler. So that's another area where people get stuck. I also see when people have passed on, have died, if it's your parents, your grandparents, people really struggle on letting go of stuff that are literally boxed and have been that way for years, they haven't bothered to look at, but feel guilt because it's their parents or grandparents' stuff and feel that they should let go of that. So I'm at the end. I will talk about different ways that we can, I can give you guidelines and help to let go of other people's clutter. So I want to talk about also spiritual. You know, in my family growing up, you never, ever, ever said anything bad against the family because it's something that could be used against you down the road. And that was a result of my great-grandparents growing up in the Depression, and some things happened. And so that was just kind of embedded in us as a family. But you know what? That's not my clutter. I mean, that's not my issue. Another way that I've seen spiritual clutter that doesn't belong to us is if someone grew up in a church or a spiritual organization, synagogue, whatever it was, and I've even seen people who've grown up in a cult and how those aren't their beliefs. They have been told this is how to believe and this is what it is, and that can create clutter as they grow up and they're finding their own beliefs and going down that path. And so it becomes kind of, okay, well, this is something that I believe, but this is what I've been told, and can really create a lot of clutter that way. Mental clutter, you know, anxiety I consider to be mental clutter. And when we get out of the present moment, a lot of times, you know, 98% of what we're worried about never comes to pass. But if we're not in the present moment, we can get anxious about it or worrying. I consider that mental clutter. Think about how much time you spend every day worrying or being anxious about something. Think it's a lot higher than, unfortunately, we think. And again, I'm able to talk about this stuff because I've been there. I've spent a lot of work on myself, and I, you know, want to share the love and work with others because I believe we're all amazing beings, but things like clutter and other people's clutter can definitely stand in our way for living the life that we're meant to. Emotional clutter, this is for me. I used to be the peacemaker in the family. It used to stress me out tremendously if people were fighting or weren't getting along. And I remember a couple years ago, I was like, this is it. Something happened, and I said to person A and person B, you know what, I think you all need to sit down and talk, And I think here's person A, what I think where maybe perhaps you weren't so great and said the same thing to person B. And I said, I'm done. I'm done being the peacekeeper. If you all want to be cranky at one another, want to be passive aggressive, have at it. I'm removing myself from the situation because that caused me a great deal of mental anguish. And that was other people's stuff. I didn't need to worry about what was going on with them. Another way of seeing people have a lot of other people's clutter is guilt, shame, things of that nature that really, again, you know, maybe are from you. There's something, a family secret, and people have carried that and not even known what that is. And so that creates a lot of clutter. One of the ways that you can work on that, well, first of all, I want to make some suggestions for physical clutter where people get stuck. I kind of feel like I do with junk mail. Stop it before it even enters. Just say no. You know, you have the ability to say no and set some boundaries and not hold on to other people's stuff. If you choose to do that, which is perfectly fine, you have to get at your comfort level, then you set a date and you agree to it and you mark it on the calendar, you know, and then you have to stick to that. But that's something really important. You know, there are tons of storage places all over the world, so if you really, really want it, then they can put it in storage if it's that important to them. Honor it. I'm talking about when a thing, the parents and grandparents, a lot of times I see clients who have garages full of boxes and that they've never opened, but they feel guilty, like I can't let it go because it was in my family. So what I suggest is, if it's in boxes and dusties, what I say to people all the time, you're not honoring it. So if it's something important, honor it. You know, the example I use is when my grandmother died, I was very close to her, and I have her antique furniture from when she was a child. It's our guest bedroom, people sleep there, and it's taken care of. Now, she'd also, my, you know, family was really great when it divided up everything, and I also got a pair of dishes that were really gross 50 years later that she probably got for free, but I was able to let that go. So a couple things, and I've talked about this in other videos, when you put your memories and infuse them on objects, that's where we get confused, because the memory is here, and the memory is here. And so if you're not going to honor something, then let it go. And I also say, once people have left the physical world, that they want you to be happy, and that if it's clutter to you, to let it go and to find someone else. I mean, if it's something really nice, you could sell it or, you know, give it away, give it to a charity if they could use it for something. But there's someone out there that it would bring joy. And it's one of the questions I've asked, is it bringing you joy or is it causing you stress? That would be a way that you can let go of anyone's physical clutter. So spiritual. How do you know if it's yours or not? Because sometimes we can get confused about that. So one way, I'm going to give you a couple ways of things to do. You can ask, whose voice is that? And I found that that's really effective. When I've just sat quietly and said, whose voice is that? I've discovered when it is mine and when it isn't. Again, you know, talking earlier, if society tells us stuff, those are little things that can get ingrained in our brain and then we believe them to be true about ourselves when they aren't necessarily. The other thing you can do is sit quietly and ask, does it feel heavy or does it feel light? And if it's heavy, then it's not yours. And I always recommend with everything, return to sender with love. You know, want to do anything, just, hey, thanks, have gratitude. I always try to have gratitude in any practice I have and send anything back with love. You know, another thing you can do is you can stand up and ask, is this mine? And if you lean forward, that's a yes. If you lean back, that's a no. Again, our body is very aware of everything and is sending us messages all the time whether or not we're open to that. A method that I've recommended to people to ask if it's yours is sit quietly and put your hand over your heart. You know, you can do a lot of research on heart math and how the heart field is big and is really more powerful than the brain. And then close your eyes and ask yourself, okay, is this mine or not? Those are just four different methods you can do to ask whether or not it's yours. After you're done, this is really important depending on what you do when you are doing energy work. And if you have returned something, again, with love and gratitude, because I believe in all situations we can learn something that will help us clear our clutter. But when you let it go, make sure that you fill yourself with gold light. Now, if you're not into energy and think that's weird, that's okay. But when you remove something, you should always fill it with gold. That's very important. Intent's also very important. And so that's why I recommend that you send with love. You always want to do everything in love. I think that, you know, even if you're upset, you can just say, okay, I've carried this around for 10 years. It's not mine. Thank you. Return to sender in love. I believe a regular meditation practice is very helpful because when you meditate regularly, your intuition opens up, it reduces your stress, you become really aware of your body, and that's going to help you know whether or not it's your clutter or not. I think that that's very helpful. Living in the present moment, I talk about this a lot. I know I did a little other show on that. When you live in the present moment, that's your point of power. But also, a lot of times people are anxious or worried about the future. You can't change anything then. But if you come within the present moment, then you're going to be able to effectively deal with stuff and realize that a lot of anxiety and worry is really, again, either has you in the future or rooted in the past. You can't change the past, and you can't control the future to some extent. But if you're living in the present moment, that is going to have an effect on your emotional state and perhaps if your mind is cluttered with anxiety or worry. So next time you're worried about something, I encourage you to say, okay, stop for a second. Where am I? Am I in the present moment, or have I gone to the past or the future? Don't take anything personally. You know, this is, I have to remind myself, I'm a big fan of Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements. And again, that's clutter. Well, if someone said I was fat and you take that on as clutter, that's not yours. When they're saying that's all about them. Now, how you react is all about you. But, you know, you can understand how we can get mental, emotional, and spiritual clutter when we have things constantly thrown at us. And it's, you know, again, that's why I think a meditation practice is so important, because you are able to filter, you're able to go within and know what is your truth instead of having other things thrown at you. Own what's yours. In the same token, I'm sorry, I have not notes. I'm at the age where I have to write everything down or I can't remember it. And the same token is, don't take anything personally. You know, how you react is all about you, but own what's yours. If you have this misconception, I find that this creates clutter for a lot of people, the belief that they're not good enough or that they are not worthy. That creates a ton of clutter, which is our own. And today we're talking about other people's clutter, but I still encourage you to own your own stuff. And then when you do those little methods that I described earlier, if it's yours, then work on releasing it. But, you know, one way to start out is really, truly looking at what is other people's clutter and not owning what isn't yours and sending back with love. So there are physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional ways that we hold on to other people's clutter. And I'm going to encourage you to, sometime over the next week, I like to give little assignments, that you examine where in those areas are you holding on to other people's clutter. And what steps can you take to let go of other people's clutter and move forward in your life? Remember, don't be hard on yourself. Everything's a process, and you might not know that you've been holding on to other people's clutter. But when you start to clear out the clutter in your life, it allows you to move forward and create the life you want. All right, everyone, we are finished for today. And I hope that you gain something from this and you're able to let go of other people's clutter. Again, because we all have our gifts that we want to share with the world. So get out there and clear some clutter on the inside and out.
Thanks for joining us on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out. You can find out more about Julie Caraccio and her services at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. We'll see you here next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Remember, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.